also
Scooby Doo Pop. We have Jack.
What? What? What just happened?
I don't know. I'm sorry. It won't be in the video.
No,
like,
we're
it will
keeping
not know. Like,
really. All right. So, welcome to another episode of TVM Talks TV. This episode, we are discussing Arrested Development. I am Ben Bollert.
I'm Lila Taylor.
Hi, I'm Alex Dombowski.
Alex is our guest this week.
In case you didn't know. So this week, we are discussing the early 2000s hit comedy.
Into the 2000-teens.
Into the mid-2010s. I don't know how much we're going to get into that part.
We must address it.
We have to address it, I guess. So we are going to discuss Arrested Development. If you have not seen it, it is a comedy starring who, Lila?
Okay. So it revolves around the Bluth family, and the matriarch is played by Jessica Walters?
Is it Walter or Walters?
I don't know, but Alex is nodding, which gives me confidence.
Yeah, I'm just nodding. I'm just like, you got this.
Patriarch is played by Jeffrey Tambor. We'll get to him later. The sons and daughter are played by Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, Tony Hale, and Portia de Rossi. Jason Bateman's son is played by Michael Cera. And then Portia de Rossi is married to David Cross, and they're
Tobias.
I know, I forget the daughter, the actress.
Maybe Fumke.
Aaliyah Shawkat.
Ooh. So did we get the whole cast right there?
And like sometimes Ben Stiller's in it.
Yes. Ron Howard pops up.
Oh, Ron Howard.
I want to say he's a narrator.
He is the narrator.
And then he appears on screen later on, but we'll also get
there. As a bit.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Okay. So
cannot wait.
So first, I think it's good to get an overview of like what kind of comedy the show does and what makes it so funny. So they have a lot of running gags. They're big on running gags.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of like hidden jokes. So if you go on the internet, you can see like 23 jokes you missed from Arrested Development, and they all be like, "Oh, I feel bad now." So there's a lot of running jokes. A lot of that. I think an interesting part of it is it revolves around a previous criminal conspiracy, I guess, within the Bluth family and their company. But they never really explain well what they did. Like,
all you know is they're shady, they're really wealthy, they have a banana stand, which is like really important early on.
Yes, it gets emphasized less later.
Oh, Liza Minnelli's in it. I forgot about that. That's a classic. We'll get there as well.
And there are 5 seasons now, I believe.
Yeah.
The 5th one was Netflix brought it back.
It was canceled by whom?
Fox.
Oh, classic.
Did we like the original finale?
What is the... Refresh my memory.
The original finale, Jessica Walters' character drives away with the boat.
Yes. I did like from that finale.
Yeah. Why can I not remember the character's name?
Tobias. Lucille Bluth?
Yes, Lucille drives away with the boat, which is also how the series started. And then Michael is like, "We're not gonna see this family again," which is also how the series started. So it like kind of ties back.
But then Netflix brings it back for seasons 4 and 5,
which I was excited for.
And it gets significantly worse.
And it just looks very different, and everyone is way older because time had passed.
And like it's especially noticeable with Maybe and George Michael, who's played by Michael Cera.
Yes, Michael Cera is a full-on adult. Like, he could probably vote by the time
and
he's in this.
He's in college. Oh, God, that whole thing.
Alex, do you have a similar opinion?
About, like, how they've all aged? Yes.
New seasons in general.
Okay, I will say that, like, I will say they all look older. It's like, Jason Bateman, he still looked good in season 4. Yeah, exactly. But all of them look so old. But anyway, I will say that, like, when season 4 came out, I remember, like, the lead up to that. Like, I remember I was super into Arrested Development. I think we all were, like, before the new season came out. And or it's not even the new season anymore, but like I remember when they announced that, and it was also, to my knowledge, or at least like to me at the time, the first really like cult show that had been canceled and brought back.
And like it's like took 10 years off. It took a decade off too, which was very I think they might have been the first show to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, they're one of the most famous cancellations. Full House, which we don't need to discuss.
Yeah.
Fuller House.
What's the show that The Comeback, which Lisa Kudrow does on a
Comeback.
Yes.
That was also took a gap. I want to say Curb Your Enthusiasm took a gap.
Yeah, that's just like Larry David, Family Guy, being lazy.
Way back when was canceled.
Oh yeah,
and
actually.
Did very well on reruns, yes. And then so Fox brought it back.
Oh wait, but the new seasons. I was gonna say. Yes. I remember when they were coming, like before they came out. I was super psyched, and like the day they came out, I like watched like 5 of them, and I was like, this is not good. Like immediately, I was like, I don't really like this. And then I like forced myself to watch the rest. It's really weird to think that I was like not that old. I was like a teenager, but I remember I like forced myself to watch the rest, and I was like, I didn't really like that. And then that was kind of like, for many Arrested Development fans, I guess that was kind of it, because the break between like season 4 and season 5 was probably 4 or 5 years.
Yes,
maybe more.
And something I noticed from the new seasons, I think, is that Tobias is basically just as good as everyone else. Like Tobias, I think, maintains how funny he was.
I would say
seasons.
Maybe does.
Oh, maybe.
As well.
That's, I think that's a good point.
Marry Me. A classic reference.
Do you guys have any, like, favorite plot lines from the show?
Oh, my God. So many mics. Yeah, speaking of mics, Michael Bluth. I have so many, but I think that, like, my favorite plot line, like, in season 2, I really like the plot line involving that they find out that George Bluth has been selling his, like, these houses to Saddam Hussein.
Yeah.
Like, a very early 2000s reference. And then also I like the episode. I don't know how, like, problematic it is by, like, today's standards. I haven't seen it in a while. But, like, the episode where Buster believes he has gone to Mexico, but he is just like, do you remember this episode?
I vaguely recall it.
He's fallen asleep in his car, and he's gone to their maid's house, but because his glasses have fallen off, he believes he's in Mexico. And then also Buster in the military. I love Buster in the military. I love Buster.
I think, yeah, Job's magic career is also a great plot line. Mm-hmm. I like when they bring in Ben Stiller as his, like, weird love interest slash rival.
Tony Wonder.
Yeah.
I used We Demand to be taken seriously on a fairly regular basis.
I think that's a great plot line. I think when Job, like, dates Egg slash Anne, who will get into.
Oh, yes.
And, like, that's the whole, like, religious aspect of Job's magic career is fun. But before I get too far... Yes. Anne is a character. Oh, I forget the actress that plays
Mae
Anne
Whitman.
As well.
Mae
Whitman.
Impressive.
Thank you.
Impressive.
No,
stuff
that was
from
excellent.
Alex. 10 out of 10.
She dates Michael Cera's character George Michael, which hysterical. And they date, and she's just so unassuming and like very forgettable.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So Michael, George Michael's father, played by Jason Bateman, like cannot remember who she is, cannot remember that he's met her multiple times, that she's been in their home, that she is dating his son, and or her name, which is Anne. So they call her Egg a lot. That
and
happens.
And whenever somebody mentions her, they say her.
Yeah.
Like in confusion, like why her?
Yeah.
Do you guys have specific episodes that you remember enjoying?
I want to give a shout out to the very weird way to phrase it. I want to give a shout out to the first episode, because I think I've seen the first episode like more than any other episode, because I have tried to convince so many people to watch Arrested Development, and
it took me a while to get into it. I'll be honest.
Really?
Like,
wow.
I watched it and I really liked it, but it took me a little bit to like really love it, and like by season 2 I was hooked. But it took me like almost a full season.
What were you gonna say about the? What was the specific plot in the pilot?
Oh, well, the pilot, you know, it introduces all of the main characters. But it's more so it's like kind of the plot of the finale. It's that like Michael has finally given up on the family, and also during like that opening during the opening episode, it's set up that Michael believes he is going to become the head of the Bluth company, and his father is going to step down, but that does not occur. I don't remember what happens instead.
He gets arrested,
yeah, and then.
George Senior in jail is one of the funniest things.
Oh, so George Senior gives the company to his wife. Gives the company to his wife because their lawyer, played by
Scott Baio. Is it Bob Loblaw?
No, the one before.
Oh, Henry
Bob
Winkler.
Yes,
Henry Winkler.
The young version of Henry Winkler, played by
Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen, thank you. tells George Senior.
Yes.
And Lucille, a husband and wife cannot be charged for the same crime, which is not the case, I believe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you can't do that. So
I don't know, though. Who knows?
It's up to the lawyers to decide.
I know I just said this, but who does Lindsay? Lindsay Bluth.
Yes.
Also a great character.
Yeah. So she seems to me to be like the semi-normal one. Like closest to
rational. I think Michael's
rational.
The normal one.
He's the normal one. But I think she, as his twin, is like semi-rational almost.
Yeah. I don't know.
I find
her very crazy. Maybe it just has to do with the fact that Tobias
maybe
is pretty nuts. Exactly.
I love Tobias.
But because they like come as package deal and like she feeds off of his energy, I find her a little odd.
I always viewed them as like almost separate entities
because
they spend so much time away from each other.
Yes.
Like obviously they never should have gotten married. Clearly. Correct. She just wanted to upset her parents.
Do you guys know that like and I'm just going all over the place now, but do you know that like when they first were casting the show, originally George and Tobias were not main characters.
Oh.
They were supporting characters, and because of the strong people that they cast. But the strong people at the time they cast, they actually expanded those roles. And also, if you watch like the first, you know, like 7 or 8 episodes again, Tobias is really not in it that often. It's really weird in comparison to later in the show where he is a main character.
I think part of one of the funniest aspects of the show, which is like basic, but the whole like never nude thing is just always funny as a concept. Which, if you're not familiar, David Cross's character of Tobias can never be nude, so he wears denim cutoffs or like jean shorts always.
Yes.
Under every article of clothing, in the shower, whatever.
So my take, I think Tobias is the best character. How do you guys feel about that take?
That's a good claim.
I don't know. When I was first watching it, I loved Tobias. I like the analropist stuff, like all of that killed me. I don't know. I think Job might win out for me. I love Job.
I just think 80% of what Tobias says is funny. I think the hit rate. Yeah, I think the hit rate of Tobias is better than almost any other character in terms of jokes.
Yeah, it's hard because it's all pretty high. But it's all pretty high. I think one thing that the first episode does really well is that it sets up every character so well. It's a pretty large cast for a comedy series, a 30-minute comedy series. So you get a lot of these traits introduced in the first episode. Like, for instance, you have Tobias going on the boat with the people that are protesting that he thinks is like a pirate ship.
Yeah.
That kind of sets up later all these jokes with him. Also, you have Job is talking, like he's introduced as showing a magic trick to children. You have all these different weird introductions that like really stay true for the rest of the show. And I think like one thing that people always talk about in other shows, like Parks and Recreation is one that comes up all the time, where people like skip the first season because they haven't figured out everything. But you disagree with that?
I mean, I just love Parks and Rec, so like I feel like you can't skip out on anything.
Yeah.
Holt is like your classic like jock popular character in the high school that
smells off screen.
That maybe and George Michael attend, and Steve Holt maybe date early on, I want to say.
She has a crush on him.
Okay. So
but I believe that they do get together at some point.
Yeah.
Remember.
And then you find out that Steve Holt, who is, every time he's on camera, goes, Steve Holt.
Steve Holt.
Funny. He's Job's son from like a fling he had in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else? Steve Holt's just a fun character. Then Steve Holt ages really badly.
And then also he's in the school play.
True.
Which is a whole thing where, well, this ties into George and maybe...
George Michael.
Having a long-standing crush on his cousin.
But then
maybe.
Find out.
But they're not actually cousins.
So it's not as weird. It's still weird.
Still strange. Still very strange.
Yeah.
And like the whole... And like for... It's a multi... Like... It's a multi-season progression of his crush on his cousin. Like, it's in, like, episode 2.
And it gets stronger as time goes on.
And then eventually they kiss and stuff. And then they think that they're cousins again. And then they realize they're not cousins.
Because Lindsay's adopted.
Yes. And then she's 40.
Yeah.
Which she doesn't like. Yes.
I was going to say, that's, like, a weird storyline that I wonder, like... Like, any other show, I don't think could really pull that off. Like, I think that if that storyline came up on, like, Full House, I don't know. Like, if that storyline came up on like some other, like, Parks and Rec.
Listen, I love Full House, but I'm sorry that we're bringing it up.
That'd be crazy. Oh, my God.
Two Full House references is too many Full House.
The house would be too full at that point. What's Lori?
Lori
Loughlin. Let's talk. She's in jail now.
Anyway, real tangents.
Yeah. Along back to your point, I think part of what makes that work is because Michael Cera is so endearing, and I think that is he's amazing, but like his character is just like so sweet and. You want to root for him because he's like an underdog.
And he's relatable to everyone in his teenage awkwardness, which is like kind of a basic character for television.
Yeah,
but
he's
extra.
So well.
He's like extra
he
awkward.
He like dresses like his dad.
And, and his hair is like just like straight down to here. Mm-hmm. He's like,
yeah.
And he works hours at the banana stand.
The banana stand. So let me just say, I was having a conversation with someone the other day that we were talking about, like, what foods from TV shows or movies would you most want to eat? And I was thinking, a banana from the banana stand always looks so
chocolate
good.
Covered bananas with nuts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys remember this part, but they stole the idea from the banana stand from a Korean immigrant, I believe. I think it was a Chinese immigrant.
In the show or in real life?
No, in the show. Okay. And then Unyoung, it was Unyoung's father.
Oh,
and then he gets revenge on them by ratting them out to the cops in the final episode, which is like very Arrested Development in terms of tying back this character you long forgot about. His name...
Unyoung is the adopted... Briefly adopted.
Briefly adopted. Which includes he's involved in one of the best lines, I think, of the whole series, which is when Lucille hands him a 20 and she says, "Here's $20, go see a Star War."
Yes.
Also, a relevant one is, "How much could a banana cost? $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one I remember is she says, "I'll have a glass of vodka." And Michael says, like, "It's 10 o'clock in the morning." And she says, "And a piece of toast."
She's so
good.
I remember the Anyang, the like final, there's this thing about Arrested Development, I think it's also true about The Simpsons, of like where you'll have a joke and then it'll go somewhere and you'll kind of laugh and think that's funny and then it goes somewhere else, like it's almost a two-step progression to it, that surprises you, the second step kind of surprises you and makes it even funnier. And with Anyang, I always thought that it was so funny that the payoff at the end is like that his real name is Hell Low.
Yes, I forgot about
like,
that.
Yeah, which is just
because
like,
Anyoung means hello, which is why when people say Anyoung to him, he says Anyoung back.
Mm-hmm. But it's revealed he can speak English the entire time, isn't it? Something crazy. We'll have to rewatch season. Season 3 is the one you said. Is there any season that has stood out for me? Season 1.
Oh, I was
season. Okay.
I've seen season 3. I like love.
We're gonna take.
Should we take a little break?
Yeah, we'll take a little break.
Sweet.
And then we'll come back and discuss more Arrested Development.
And we're back. I wish I were host. I think you guys should have it fade to white. And if they don't do that, well, the viewers demand that they re-edit the video. Hashtag re-edit.
I fade it a little bit. We're not sure what percentage of people listen to the audio or see the video, but if we do video, we will fade it. I can guarantee. That is the Ben promise. It will be faded.
That is the Ben Bullard guarantee. Okay. Classic Taurus. That's all I know. What's your star sign?
We're not doing this.
I don't really know. It's Virgo. There we go.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's.
Thank you.
That means you're down to earth. Congrats. Wow. I'm a Pisces. Anyway, Ben's a Taurus, obviously.
Is that bad?
Taurus is.
It doesn't matter. That's the thing.
Strong energy.
Yeah.
Stubborn. Anyway, so Arrested Development.
There's not a person
so,
in the world.
Alex, what were you going to say?
What was I going to say? Like before the break? I was going to talk about. Okay, I was going to talk about. I have not seen the fifth season, so no spoilies, but I bet, like, I don't know. Like, probably. What would happen? Like, there's some Trump thing. Like, I bet Trump is involved.
That's the whole thing.
Is it really?
Wall. Like,
oh, I remember the wall.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
The wall's involved. I forgot about that.
Can't
but that's,
it.
I think, pre-Trump.
That is definitely
the wall's
pre-Trump.
Back when everyone was like, this is the stupidest idea ever.
Well, they still said that.
And it still is.
I think they talk about it in the show, like, when it becomes an actual political idea.
Becomes a policy agenda.
They are like, Lucille's like, it's my idea first.
Yeah, I do think that, like, there's a lot of people have a reading of Arrested Development as the family being based off of the Trumps, but they're actually based off the Bushes, because there's like Job is Jeb, George is George, Michael is George W, and stuff like that.
But
anyway,
Michael's not completely incompetent.
Like Jeb.
But I feel like Michael is like the like genius son who's like more who's trying to be more successful than his father.
But W is not a genius.
But I mean, like, he got two terms. HW got one. HW is dead. W's still alive.
This is true.
Figured it out. I think George HW will outlive him.
Yeah.
We'll see. Yeah, literally only time will tell.
yeah.
But they do reference the era a lot, which I think is interesting,
think so
looking
too.
At it now. And it's very, like, Bush-ian, I guess, in how, like, everything is kind of dysfunctional and off, and there's some people here, like, you can't actually have power and be that ridiculous, and then it happens. And then, or just, like, people just, like, stumbling into important positions and stuff like that. And then also there's the whole Saddam Hussein thing, so they do actually reference the culture of the time a little bit.
It's crazy. I think that's part of the reason why it was so successful in its day. I think this part, it almost seems a little dated by today's standards because it has so many current references, or not current, like temporary references. But I mean, like, I wonder if, like, someone were to watch it. Like, I saw it when I was like 12 or whatever, but I wonder if, like, a 12-year-old today were like to go watch the first three seasons, would they even.
I don't think they would enjoy it.
Yeah, which is interesting because, like, I don't remember, like, the invasion of Iraq. I wasn't old enough for that, but I still thought the jokes were funny.
Ben was born in 2000.
That's insane. Is that true?
Hey, Lila, what year were you born?
99.
Dude, I'm 96. So I do, like, I do remember it. Like, I remember a lot of the events that are referenced. So, I don't know why. It's like I'm bragging. I'm like, yeah, I remember the invasion.
Yeah, I'm older than you guys.
I'm older. I'm am I millennial or Gen Z?
Yes, I'm like an early Gen Zer. Ben is total Gen Z.
We're a year. We're like a year apart. Like,
the generation.
14
divide.
Months apart.
It's strong. I
is it? You got to watch That's So Raven a year before I did. So Lila, there was another more contemporary issue with the show you wanted to discuss. Correct.
Okay. Some of you will remember over the summer. The New York Times did a full interview with almost the entire cast to promote the new season 5 that was on Netflix. And I think it was everyone except maybe Portia de Rossi, I want to say, was not in it. Everyone else was, I believe. Maybe not Michael Cera, but everyone else. And so it's this whole interview, and the person conducting the interview addresses accusations that were placed against Jeffrey Tambor for physical and sexual assault and like verbal assault, I believe. Anyway, I'll fact check that. But allegations, and so, and he had been kicked off of Transparent, which was the other show he was on, and all of this stuff, and so people were wondering whether or not he'd be kicked off Arrested Development, and he wasn't. And one of the allegations was Jessica Walter's character, who plays his wife on the show, he had like been very verbally abusive towards her offset. And so the person conducting the interview for the New York Times asked them about it in this interview, and all of them, all of the cast members were standing behind Jeffrey Tambor, and Jessica Walters was so emotional, like, talking about it because it had affected her so much. She started crying, and, like, it's in the audio transcript is available, so you can actually listen to it, and it's insane. And the only person who's sticking up for Jessica Walters is who plays...
So Aaliyah Shawkat, Aaliyah Shawkat, I don't know.
Yeah, she's the only person sticking up for her, and the rest of them are like, we'll stand behind Jeffrey Tambor and all this stuff, and... In particular, Jason Bateman comes off really badly. And so it ought...
Man.
Yeah, and it for he was kind of forced to apologize after the fact, because, like, and, like, defend what he said and whatever. But it kind of, like, makes the fifth show even... the fifth season even harder to watch than it already is.
I think it's weird to think that, like, Jason Bateman in real life has the personality of a Jason Bateman character.
Yeah.
That he's got that. Like, that's how it came off in that interview. But yeah, no, I haven't watched the fifth season, and it was probably partially because of that, because that was like really bad. I don't know if like PR is necessarily the word to say, but like that kind of, I like associated the show with that for a long time. I'm just like, Jesus. And it's like, I listened to audio of that interview, and it's just like, oh my God, it's
just
horrible.
Crying, and, like,
yeah.
No one is like sticking up for her except for Aaliyah Shawkat.
Yeah. It's like really hard to listen to. And so... And I think obviously that kind of and that combined with like the lackluster fourth season, I think also just the fact of there was a long break between the original series and the remake slash reboot or whatever, the reboot, not remake. And then there was like a similarly long break, like, you know, a 4 or 5 year break between the two new seasons. I think it's just kind of lost a lot of like comedic momentum.
Yeah, and even half of season 5 aired a year ago. And they just put on half of the last half of season 5 this like a week ago or something.
Yeah.
It was just released.
And they did that apparently to qualify for like more Emmys or something like that. Like so you could
it's weird.
I don't think they're winning any Emmys.
Yeah.
Cuz the show's not terribly funny.
Emmys.
When it was on.
When it was good.
Yeah.
Which is interesting cuz I guess they didn't, I mean, in the one of the later episodes, one of my favorite parts is where they're addressing the cancellation through the show. And at one point, Ron Howard, as narrator, says, please tell your friends to watch the show. And at one point, they say, like, what about the Home Builders Organization? Will they work? And he says, no, HBO doesn't want us. He's like, all right, then it's showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting how it was this critically acclaimed show. And I think I have a book. I think it's called TV the Book, where it ranks the top shows. And Arrested Development's top 20 all time. And it couldn't get more than 3 seasons because the ratings were that low.
But it was critically acclaimed.
I will say I'm thankful that it got 3 seasons because I think that like a show back at that time that was really good and had ratings like that wouldn't like I'm not saying I support Fox and everything, but no, but like I think I am like thankful that they kept the show on as long as it was, because from what I've read, the ratings were really, really low, even in the first season. And because of the critical momentum, they kept it on until it was just like literally completely non-profitable. So, and whereas like, I think it's odd because like the reverse kind of happens with Netflix, where Netflix like keeps bringing it back, but it like is getting worse. It's like this weird dynamic of like, did it work better?
Officially done now, right?
It probably is. I don't know if it's officially
done. Season was called for its last
and they had those, remember they had rumors for a movie for a while, which honestly I think would have been better.
Yes.
I would have
much preferred a movie.
I feel like that could have been really fun.
I think that could have been really good.
Oh yeah.
I think an Arrested Development movie could have been great. I think the additional episodes were just too much.
Yeah,
I don't even know how many episodes they have in the new season.
Well, I mean, like,
one thing that was weird about season 4 was that it kind of becomes clear when you're watching it that not everyone like had schedules that synced up. And so how they wrote the series was that like every episode had a, you know, kind of a focus character. Mm-hmm. And it was this weird like aspect of the show of that for some reason she's not in it that much. Yeah, especially in the new one. She's the newest season now. Yeah. She's not in it that much. But they had this weird thing in the fourth season that I rewatched the fourth season relatively recently. And I remember thinking this when I was watching of like, why is the writing, you know, Mitch Hurwitz or whatever, why are they so obsessed with like trying to get us up to speed? Yeah. That's like the whole point of the first like 90% of the fourth season.
They made an alternate ending, didn't they?
That's another aspect. They re-edited and like they re-recorded
confusing.
Like narration for a new re-edit of the fourth season, which is weird. I have not seen that.
It's really confusing. I don't recommend watching it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point about the whole thing. It's just about catching up, which is, I think nobody really likes that much.
It's so confusing.
When
you're weird. Oh, sorry, I didn't know. Yeah, I was gonna say it's weird because when the show begins, it's not like, okay, we need to, you know, get you caught up on every single character's journey until this, like, point in the show. We're just dropped into it. And I think that that may have been a better approach, is just continue. And also, I think this has been, like, echoed many times, but that the show works better as an ensemble piece.
Yes.
And episodes that are focusing on these solo characters, no matter, you know, they got a lot of really fun, like, guest stars. Like, I think they got, like, John Slattery, I remember, from Mad Men. Rhea Bamford's in it. That one guy from the Three Stooges movie plays like the face blind boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah,
which was never a storyline I was like a fan of. I thought that was weird, but it's weird. Like, it's this weird thing of like
Terry Crews.
I forgot he's the like presidential candidate in season four.
Oh my goodness.
Season four is interesting because it's that
Cinco de Cuatro.
That I thought was actually mildly funny.
Yeah.
The fact that they didn't want Cinco de Mayo. So then they did Cinco, which first of all doesn't make any sense, right? Cinco de Cuatro is 5 of 4. But like, which I think is just makes it even funnier that they didn't even bother to know the Spanish of it. But at the Blues, because they hated the Mexicans celebrating so much that they made their own holiday.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of funny.
It's just funny, like, I don't know how to explain that humor.
I think that, like, one thing I like about the show is like they are, I don't know if this explains the humor.
How awful they are.
I think it's that they have the perfect mixture, and I guess it's supposed to be a reflection of the Bush era. Now it's a reflection of like, you know, the Trumps or whatever, but that perfect mixture of evil and dumb.
Yeah.
All the characters in the show have that perfect mixture of where they're so evil, they don't care about anyone else, but they're so stupid that they couldn't really otherwise.
Yeah.
And so like, it's just wonderful. Like, especially, and I like kind of how in the early seasons they kind of play off that Michael is really no better, or he's better than the other ones, but he also has these kind of faults.
But he's so self-righteous that it makes him worse.
But
in some ways.
Yeah, I think in the fourth season I remember him distinctly being even like,
yeah,
like where you actively dislike Michael.
Oh, yeah.
Where you don't think like, oh, he's okay, like pros and cons, but he's like a normal guy type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
In the fourth season you're like, Michael sucks. Like, I really don't.
It's 'cause he's like trying so hard to like be like, oh, I'm leaving the family behind. Blah, blah,
and he's
blah,
like spends time with
blah,
his
blah,
son
blah,
in college.
Blah, blah, blah.
In college,
oh,
he like
when he moves into the dorm room.
Yeah,
that's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny, but also
and
like
hate
you hate Michael
yeah.
the whole time, as
yeah.
opposed
you
to being ambivalent
Michael
on Michael.
Fake
you
block.
Feel baddie. Fake block. I forgot
yeah.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
The antisocial network.
Well, the weird thing is that the new season four is like satirizing a lot of like modern current things too, like
mm-hmm.
fake block, and I guess like future satirizing the Trump administration.
Yeah.
But like it's weird that it just doesn't work as well, and I don't know what has changed. Well, I know that
the
things have changed. I think it's like the writers have changed. I mean, Mitch Hurwitz is still heavily involved in the show. It's like kind of almost seems like his vision almost seems to be the thing that guides the show, but I don't really know if that's, you know, for sure, if that's true, but
that is 100%.
That is 100%. Mitch Hurwitz is God. He walks on water at the end of the last episode. But yeah, I don't know. I think, again, I think it's like when you talk about Arrested Development now, and you can notice that in this episode, it's sad. And like the first thing that we talked about is like season four, because it's almost unavoidable. It's season four and five, I guess, but like this unavoidable of like, it's unavoidable to not talk about the weird fall from grace that it has had in quality. And like, it's gone from, I think, it's still one of my favorite shows, but I think it's gone from this like really elevated position in most people's minds to now kind of something that's on in the background. And like season five comes out and there's like no fanfare really. But like when season four came out, I was like more excited about that than like any other TV show like at the time. Yeah. So it's crazy.
I think your character centric focus thing is actually like really important, and how it would just focus on one character and would like try to catch you up. And that's never really what the show was best at. It's just characters on their own. It was always them feeding off of each other, and it's dumb and evil. And the whole concept of the show is that they never grow up. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called Arrested Development. Right. And then that's why the last scene is like the same as the first one, is because they never grow up and they're all childish and do the same things as they did.
Yeah, and I don't know. I still think though that it'll kind of like survive the test of time, like the original show.
The first two seasons.
Yeah,
sure.
The first like 2, 3, you know, 2.5, whatever seasons, like I think will, because like the writing is there, and like there, and it's really, you know, also a testament to the cast. Yeah. And one thing I haven't brought up yet that I really enjoy about Arrested Development is the music. I love the original soundtrack album. I love how it's pretty much all original music pieces that are composed for the show, and they're like of varying genres, and they often like repeat during the show and are kind of are often punchlines. One song that's a pre-existing song is the Charlie Brown sad music that they play. Like that is so funny. And it's just that perfect mix for Arrested Development of how it's not just like verbal jokes and situational comedy. It's also visuals. It's also using music. Mm-hmm. It's all these things that like, I think people talk about this with like the movies of Edgar Wright, of using not just improv and dialogue, but using every aspect of filmmaking to create jokes. I think Arrested Development perfectly kind of epitomizes that in the TV show form. I think The Simpsons, which I brought up before, is another one that really does that like when it was at its height. But I think Arrested Development, like, yeah, it's just, it's so crazy. And that's why it's so enjoyable to rewatch, is that you forget so much, because there's just like, especially in those early episodes, there's just like so much crammed into it. There's so many jokes. There's also there's so much story in the originals, and and also in the fourth season too. There's just so much story, and there's, I don't know, it just makes for a really enjoyable watching experience. So I mean, while I think that like its place in, you know, kind of TV canon has been reduced because of the new seasons, also because of time and because of controversies off the show with the cast, I do think that those kind of original qualities will kind of help kind of keep its quality going throughout the years. So, yeah, anyway.
That's I think a great place to
end. I think that is a phenomenal place to end.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
I am Ben.
I'm Lila.
And this has been TVM Talks TV. Until next time.
And see you.